Coach Rob podcast, answering questions and eliminating frustrations about health, wellness, and performance since 1987.
Welcome to the Coach Rob podcast, episode number 65. This is actually going to be part two to the first one that we did, One Thing Missing in Your Health and Performance Program That Is Holding You Back. Good afternoon, Mr. Beams.
How are you guys doing this afternoon? Thank you so much for carving time out of your day. I say it every time, but I don't think the listeners fully understand how busy you are and how much I deeply appreciate the time you carve out for these shows.
Nope, I look forward to it. I really look forward to doing these. I look forward to reading everybody's comments in the comments section, and I get a kick out of it. So I have a lot of fun doing these things with you, and we cover some really cool, interesting topics. So one thing I wanted to get out of the way, some house cleaning. We always do a little house cleaning before we start. Again, I want to thank everybody for subscribing, liking. Make sure you guys hit that like and subscribe on if you're watching us on YouTube. We greatly appreciate it. Make sure you leave comments in the bottom. Like I just said, I love reading your guys' comments and feedback. And then the American Heart Association Heart Walk coming up, Coach Rob. Fill us in.
Yeah, thank you so much for reminding me of that. As I've said previously, you know, unfortunately went through a heart attack, and I've partnered up with the American Heart Association trying to create more awareness. So we're doing a fundraiser, and my goal is to try to raise a couple $1,000. I do apologize. The minimum investment is $25, which is a bit steep. I do respect that, but I am still trying to raise as much money as I can for the education associated with heart attacks. So if you're watching us here on YouTube, you can click on the code there that's on the QR code that's on the screen right now. It does get credited to our account, and I'm going to keep it very brief for those of you that have contributed. If you watched our last show, we're going to be doing some digital products. If you do $25, we'll give you all of our cookbooks. And if you invest 50 or more, we'll give you access to all of our digital bundles. So we just want to say thank you. We're not asking anything for free, but we really want to make a difference. So the walk itself is the first week in November, November 4th at the University of Central Florida. And so we're raising money up to that point, and that's why you're hearing it at the beginning of these shows last week as well as this week. So thank you for reminding me, Dan. I really appreciate it.
Yep, and I'm still on board, guys. If you guys donate to Coach Rob's Heart Walk, I will match every dollar up to $1,000 for Coach Rob. We want to make sure that he hits the goal that he has set out for himself. So
really appreciate
it. I'm dedicated to that. All right, let's get in, Coach Rob. Anything else before we get into it?
Nope. Like I said, just thanks for all the subscribers and all the listeners, and thank you for the feedback, positive and negative. We definitely appreciate it. And like you said, leave questions below. We're happy to answer it here. And there's a reason why we call it the People's Podcast, is we want to make sure that we can debunk a lot of the misinformation that's out there. And that's a continuation of what we're talking about here today, is, you know, the second half of recovery. As much as a lot of people kind of scoff at it and go, oh, you know, the old joke, You sleep when you're dead. You know, we've kind of, if you grew up with a military dad, or if you were in the football arena, right, you weren't allowed to drink water because that made you weak. You had to suffer it up. So we're going to be, last show, we got a chance to talk about the positives, and here today we'll talk, we did the opposite way. We talked about the frustrations associated with, you know, not being sufficiently recovered. We're in this podcast together. We're going to be looking at the benefits, and I don't want to jump ahead of you, Dan, at all, but I will say this. The benefits are not as obvious as you would think, and there's a lot of indirect benefits that I want to make sure that we elaborate on in today's pod.
Yeah, let's just quickly recap the five hidden mistakes that people make that hold them back, and that's not eating enough quantity and quality, not sleeping enough quantity and quality, right? We want to make sure we get a good amount of sleep every night. Too much stress, that's personally, professionally, financially, and athletically. Not training with a focus. You're just out there at the gym with no direction. You're just working out to work out, and ignoring signs before it's too late. And that one is a huge one, right? Because our body does give us signs, but we ignore them for whatever reason. And it sets us back further. So those are the five hidden mistakes. And we're going to get into five hidden benefits. But like you said, they're not always so obvious. So, the first one, increased energy. I think that that is something. Well, let me ask you this. Is that something that we always acknowledge, like that we have increased energy?
It's an interesting question, and it's almost a frightening one, because I think the average listener has literally become so desensitized to chronic fatigue. And I'm not talking textbook chronic fatigue. You've gotten your blood work back and they say, hey, you've got Epstein-Barr virus in your system or whatever, Addison's disease. As we said at the end of last show, when you get diagnosed with a disease that's bloodborne, at this, the frustrating part is your system, the entire system, your entire body is now negatively affected by it. That's why we always say you want to pay attention to symptoms, low sex drive, craving simple sugars, night sweats, tired and you can't go to sleep. Well, that's that red light in the corner trying to get your attention. Hey, we need some help here. We ignore it. Then the body just gets exhausted. And then unfortunately we have fatigue-related symptoms, diseases. Now you have a system that could have been avoided, or the taking on the title of being sick could have been avoided. When you come back to your question about, hey, one of the hidden benefits is, heaven forbid, we actually have energy. What I think is so subtle about it is, look at the proliferation of these energy drinks. You know, a lot of people don't realize that the Red Bulls of the world, particularly Red Bulls, probably the, I may be wrong, maybe one of our listeners can correct me in the comments below, but I believe Red Bull was the first energy drink that was ever put on the market. And most of us are aware of the fact that originated in the nightclubs. The idea that people wanted to dance and then have some fun at night, they'd take their hard liquor, they'd mix it with Red Bull because of the caffeine, it increased the absorption, et cetera, et cetera. If you come back to the proliferation of the Red Bulls, the Monsters, the rock stars, the so-called energy drinks, right? What is it that people are trying to pick up? Some level of energy. When you've got those little bottles at the checkout stand at the convenience store, you know, they've got the word energy written right on them. So yes, you're exactly right, Dan. Most people don't think, and I don't want to overstate the obvious, the only way that your body can rebuild itself from the inside out is, and we talked about it last week, you've got to have enough food, quality and quantity wise, and you've got to have enough sleep. And I cannot emphasize that enough. When you get adequate amounts of sleep and the quality of that sleep is good, all of us are going to start to feel better. And I know I have to have my hand in the air for this comment. When I was trying to qualify to become an athlete on the Olympic team for the sport of triathlon, when I finally got accepted to go there and start doing some testing, and they just called me out, they go, you're exhausted. And I'm thinking, well, isn't this, and I said, that this is sincerely, this is the way I thought, well, aren't you supposed to be exhausted if you're an elite athlete? Isn't that just part of the environment? And it wasn't until I got a chance to work with some of the best coaches in the world. They're like, no, how, and think about, put yourself in my position, Dan, how, I'm going to use the word stupid, I really felt. I've got these human performance specialists sitting across me, just like you are right now. And they're looking at me going, so help me understand this. You think that you can be one of the best athletes in the world and you're exhausted. And man, when they said that, I felt like somebody had hit me in the head with a hammer. I'm going to show my age here, but remember the old Gong Show? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Hitting the big, it's like, that's what I felt like. I was like, what an idiot. But I'm taking responsibility for those words. I'm not calling anybody who's exhausted an idiot. What I'm saying is I had literally programmed myself and kind of fell into the trap of believing that this is the norm. So any of our listeners that are parents, partners in business or running your own business or working for somebody else's business, stop and think about yesterday. How busy was your day? You know, when we've got 24 hours in a day, and I try to ask my clients to give me at least 30 minutes, preferably 60, if you can find it, 1 hour out of 24 hours. And then I'm asking for 9 hours of sleep. So out of 24, I'm only asking for 10, you know, 9 hours of sleep and 1 hour of exercise. Yes, I understand we got to factor in family. We got to factor in work and all the others. I'm not immune to it, but I thought your question was pretty crazy accurate. Wait a second, there's a such thing as to not being exhausted all the time. And yet when you realize the only time your body can rejuvenate is when you sleep, when it's properly fed and hydrated, now we rebuild ourselves.
Yeah.
Think about how crazy that is. So yes.
I want a 1 minute explanation on this. Said something just a few minutes ago that kind of the little light bulb went off in my head. So a couple of years ago, I had a near-death experience at Cooper Webb's championship party after he won the Supercross title, drinking Red Bull and vodka. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned something about in the nightclubs, it did like absorption. Can you just, because I think a lot of listeners, that's like a drink of choice in the evening as a Red Bull vodka when you're out and about. That was mine until I almost died.
Yes.
Can you just briefly explain that?
Well, first and foremost, caffeine is a vasodilator. So if you're trying to absorb the alcohol quicker to get that buzz, if you put anything that has caffeine in it, it's going to get sucked into the bloodstream. The second thing behind it is sugar. So if you think back to when we were in high school, and we live in Florida, we have the Florida Gators. We used to call it Gator Punch. And all it was Gatorade with cheap, whatever hard liquor you could find, you know, something like a vodka, like a clear. So when you're drinking something like Gatorade that has electrolytes, what do electrolytes do? They facilitate the absorption of water. Well, in this case, it wasn't the absorption of water. It was the absorption of the liquor. So you get inebriated quicker. And unfortunately, like you said, it almost kills you, because if you think about, and I know this sounds very, very hokey and I apologize, put yourself in the role of a human body. The human body does not like alcohol. It does not like cigarette smoking. It doesn't matter if it's a vape, a cigar, or a cigarette, just like it doesn't like a dip. Think back to the first time you did it. You put the dip in your mouth, you got all dizzy, right? It goes into your bloodstream quickly. So I want to be concise, like you said, for the sake of time, but when you're taking something like Red Bull that has sugar and caffeine, and then you mix it with a drink, it increases the absorption rate of that alcohol. And you could do that with Gatorade, because electrolyte, you ever notice when you drink a sports drink, how you urinate more, because the electrolytes are facilitating the absorption of fluid. That's the way it works. So if you have alcohol in that mixture, you just get inebriated that much quicker. So
don't mix vodka with energy fuel is what you're saying.
Yeah. Not a good mixture. And you know, what's crazy is we have heard about some lawsuits where some kids were trying to see how many Red Bulls they could drink. And for those of you who follow us in the moto world, it was actually at a motocross track, and they were trying to see how many Red Bulls they could drink. And this one guy threw down, I don't know how many, jumped on his motorcycle, went in the first turn, and had a heart attack because of the excessive amounts of caffeine in his system.
I remember that.
The scary part is the family sued the track owner and the family won, which I call bullshit, but it is what it is. You know, where do we draw that line on self-responsibility and accountability? Trying to drink a half a dozen, I don't know what the milligrams of caffeine is. I think it's like 35 or 40 milligrams of caffeine. And you're down in four or five of those. Again, look at yourself from the inside out. This influx of caffeine, which is a stimulant, which raises the heart rate. Well, the heart can only take so much before it blows its cork. So sad situation. But
thank you for explaining that. Sometimes this goes off the rails because I have these questions, but
no, it's good.
That explained it.
Yep.
Number two, health and athletic improvements. And health is a very generalized question, and so is athletic improvement. So give me a couple examples.
I don't care if you consider yourself a hardcore athlete or not. We always say that we will never work on athletic performance at the expense of human health. That's why there's a lot of trainers out there that don't have a problem with a performance enhancing drug program. I'm not here to be judge and jury on it. What I know based on doing this for 38 years is I've seen the negative ramifications of people who take PEDs, plain and simple, right? My point being is every listener, whether you're listening to us on a podcast format or here on YouTube, I want you to recognize when you go to bed, you're able to allow yourself to recover from the stress. You said it earlier, the big four categories are going to be personal, professional, financial, and if you have the opportunity to exercise in the athletic realm. But if you look at that as one grand total, if you have a Garmin dashboard, it gives you this nice little gray dot, right? It says, here's your cumulative stress number for the day. Well, your ability to absorb and recover from that is absolutely imperative. So when we look at the benefits of rest, number one was the energy, but the energy can only come as a byproduct if the body is rebuilding itself from the inside out, which is why we always want to complement food with sleep, but food always precedes sleep. Think about when you go to bed, you're kind of moving your body into a garage of mechanics that's going to rebuild you. Well, if the mechanic doesn't have the tools, if he doesn't have the parts to rebuild you, yep, you're going to lay there for 7, 8, 9 hours. But without the tools, the body doesn't get repaired. That's why food always precedes sleep, always. Now, you roll in there. If we're looking at the foundation of health, and none of us are immune to it, think about the body literally from the inside out. When I have food and I have the macro and the micronutrients, those are the building blocks. When the body is removed from stress, now the mechanics can go to work and rebuild you. They rebuild you from the inside of the bones. So now we have thick, very, very strong bones. Females, you're able to offset osteoporosis and other bone diseases. So now we've got thicker bones. Muscles attached to the bone through tendons. Now those tendons are thicker and they're more durable. They're more resilient to tear. You look at ligaments, they attach bones to bones. Those become thicker, more resilient to tear. Then you get to the muscles. The muscles are thicker. You're able to go up and down stairs. You're able to walk with your friends and family. You get to enjoy life, right? So literally, when food is met with the appropriate amount of rest and the appropriate quality of rest, what have you got? Thicker bones, thicker tendons, thicker ligaments, thicker muscles. So now the foundation of health is there. It's plain and simple. That's why I'm saying it's such a subtlety. Most of us go, oh, I've got more energy. That's cool. Yeah, but it's even, no pun intended, it's deeper than that. Because, and God forbid, what if you got rear-ended in a car accident? You're going to want to have that strong foundation when you're unfortunately going to get bounced around in there like a tic-tac, right? It's no different than when we move into the performance element. And that's why I appreciate you presenting it the way you did. You've got to have that foundation before we start to worry about, okay, we participate in triathlons. There's a chance that you could trip and fall running. There's a chip when in a race, you might get kicked in the head in the open water swim. You might, you know, go down on the road bike. Well, if you're strong from literally the bone, tendon, ligament, muscle all the way out, you're going to get up from that accident more than likely. At least you have a better statistical chance. So Dan, that's why we always say health is the foundation to performance, because then the performance becomes a little bit more obvious. You're going to have more stamina, so you'll be able to go finish those longer workouts. You'll have more raw power, so you'll be able to lift more load and or be able to go fast with very little to no effort. Now, that may sound like an oxymoron to a lot of people, but I can tell you, when we pick up a new client and we do baseline assessments, it's interesting how we're able to identify its fatigue is their number one limiting factor, not actual strength or endurance or even lactate tolerance. Most people in the performance realm understand those three words, but they kind of step over a dollar to pick up a penny. You're not rested, you're not fed, and you're not hydrated. No wonder why you don't have good energy and why you keep getting sick and injured. So that's makes why we sense. Say health and then performance.
Number three, coach. This is the one that you wanted to talk about. The sex drive. I know you're getting older, right? I don't want to thrash you too hard, but you know, you maybe should look at some things that, you know, like eating and getting sleep before you just keep popping those blue pills. But increased sex drive is a benefit to recovery, and explain that.
Well, it's interesting because when someone hears the word sex or anything relevant to sex, everybody acts like they're school kids. And I think our subscribers and our listeners are a little bit more mature than that. If you're a male, you should be waking up to an erection every day. And that's just the easiest litmus test for you to know if testosterone is at its normal level. You know, the old good old morning Woody, right? If that's happening, what I want everybody to understand from a health and a wellness standpoint, what that really means is that your body's producing testosterone, which is a strong sex hormone, but testosterone plays a significant role in the production of red blood cells. So if you go back to bullet point number one, you want to have more energy, you need to have more testosterone. More testosterone, you've got not only the benefits with your partner, but you also will have the production of more red blood cells, because red blood cells are where we carry oxygen. When you made a comment a little bit ago about, hey, what would it feel like to not be exhausted all the time? And we talked about the idea that people are kind of immune to it and we rely on stimulants to get ourselves going. Now put all this together. You've got the energy and you recognize that your testosterone levels are super high. Well, guess what? It's going to mean that you have more oxygen in your blood, which means you're going to have more energy to go to work, to go to your kid's soccer game. If you are in the gym, lift more weight. If you like to do cardio, you'll be able to go both fast and be able to go long. And that's where these always they integrate together constantly over and over and over again. And they cross germinate 1 through 5 and back, because everybody desires to have that high level of energy. But just like any female who's listening to this, if you have a heavy menstrual cycle or a long menstrual cycle, what's the number one complaint? I don't have any energy. Why? Because you're anemic. Textbook definition, anemic, low red blood cell count. Why is a female low on energy? She's carrying less and less oxygen because of the excessive blood loss. As athletes, none of us are immune to it. If you don't consider yourself an athlete, take everything that we've talked about today, as well as the last podcast. If you're not eating good food, you don't get the micronutrients, which are catalysts for energy. If you don't sleep quality and quantity wise, right? How long you're asleep and how deeply you sleep, the body never gets a chance to release the hormones. And the end result is we're exhausted. That's why it's so important that, you know, as we call it, the People's Podcast, I don't want to just say, hey, if you sleep, you're going to feel better. I want everybody to understand why. We're not going to get into deep blood chemistry and make everybody check out on us, but I want people to think about it just at a deeper level and with a slightly different perspective.
And that leads us into number 4. And you said that not everybody that listens to us may be an athlete, right?
Yep.
And or a professional athlete or an athlete at all, right?
But yes.
This one, I think a lot of these, everybody could relate to, but this one, I think a lot of people definitely could relate to, and that's mental clarity. I don't think that there's one single person that listens to us or one single person on this earth that hasn't had a point where they just felt foggy and just their mental clarity was not clear. And I want you to explain that a little bit further, because you went through this with your heart attack. And where you were real before you had your heart attack, or leading up to your heart attack, you had this fogginess. And I think you can explain this pretty good.
As you and I joke on almost every show together, you know, I turned 55 this past year, and at 55, I'm like, okay, it's a number. Yeah, I do believe it's a number, but I've noticed over the last 6 to 8 months, I've just noticed that my short-term memory, remembering someone's name, for example, usually is something I can do quite well. I was noticing that was going by the wayside. And I noticed that for those of you that are my age, you remember when computers first came out, we had 5 1/4 diskettes where you'd hear them go as it was trying to save onto a floppy drive. That's where I felt like my brain was. I'd be sitting there mid-sentence with Michaela, and I felt like I had to wait for a second, as if, and I'm not taking this lightly at all, it's almost like I had some dementia at some level. Like I just couldn't come up with the words, right? My hard drive was spinning and I couldn't come up with it, but I'm like, I'm 55, I'm not 95. And so I'd go and I'd Google it, and it's like, okay, long-term symptoms associated with long COVID was fuzzy brain, lack of mental clarity. We've talked about this in the previous show that we talked about the heart attack. That's where it comes back to, this is one of the hidden things where people chalk it up to age, or they chalk it up to, I'm spread so thin, I can't even think straight. How many times have we heard that, Dan? You know, I can't even think straight anymore. I'm so exhausted. That's what goes back all the way to number one. We don't know what it feels like to feel like we're full of energy. And the only way we can get that energy feeling is if we're stimulated with some kind of a stimulant. And then we just kind of keep doing that day after day after day after day after day. And for those of you that are in the motor world, right, especially those that ride motocross, anything that has an hour meter on it, you wouldn't have a ton of hours on the motor and then be surprised that the horsepower is starting to wane a little bit. And that's the way we want to look at when it comes to mental clarity, because ironically, think about the vicious cycle this is, Dan. The mental clarity is going to constantly be fogged when it's fatigued, and the fatigue creates more mental fog, which creates more, you see how this, and now the snowball is going down the hill at a speed that just, I'm not going to say can't be slowed down, because obviously we can reverse anything. We just have to do it slowly, and we have to do it systematically, and do it in a way that's sustainable. I know that's a lot of S's, right? A lot of alliteration there, but that's the truth of the matter. I'm not asking somebody who is sleeping 4 hours. By the way, we've had people that have reported themselves to our offices literally sleeping 4 hours a night. So when I say 4 hours, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not asking you to go from 4 to 9. I'm just looking from 4 to 5. Let's make some small steps, because obviously for you to get that extra hour, we have to make some adjustment in your schedule, whether that's professional or personal or whatever. And then you think about, and I hate to go here, but you think about movie stars, musicians, right? You hear about them. They're under the tutelage of a physician that they're so ramped up on stimulants all day long, snorting coke and doing things like that, that then what do they have to have? They have to have an injection so that they can have a downer to be able to fall back asleep. Well, that just gets bigger and bigger in both, on both sides, getting ramped up and slowing it back down. So you have to do the same thing. You, the listener, you have to do the same thing. Ask yourself, what are my energy levels really like? And not get stuck into a world where we have to act like we're 16 again, right? When hormones are flying every which way, you have no obligations. You have nothing. There is no such concept of time. The world's your oyster, right? You just go after it. Well, the problem that we run into is, and Dan, you and I have teased about this off the air, we rush into this thing called adulthood, which is way oversold, right? Can't wait to be a parent. Can't wait to own my own house. Can't wait to get out of my own. Can't wait to go to work. And now we're all going, whew, not that I want to freeload off my parents my entire life, but I could have been okay if things had kind of rolled in a little bit slower, maybe.
That's my 7-year-old right now. Dad, I want to be able to drive. Like, how come I can't have a job? And I'm like, babe, just enjoy your role. Enjoy your childhood.
Yep. And that is always a catch-22 as well, because our children see us. And if maybe we made some bad decisions when we were younger and got upside down financially, or maybe we weren't able to, you know, get our career started because we were doing some bad choices here, there, we don't want to live in the world of regrets, but we wonder why our children are so preoccupied with being preoccupied. Well, it's because they see us, whether it's the phone or whether it's, you can't get away from the computer because work's always there. We could talk about that in another show altogether, but it's the idea that our mental fogginess is a byproduct of fatigue, and the fatigue is not enough sleep quality and quantity. And the quality of the sleep is usually interrupted because of inadequate food quality and quantity. And then whether you want to say the dominoes are falling forwards or backwards depends on your perspective. All I'm saying is, when you recognize it, and we refer to it in our offices as the vacation test, and this would be a challenge that I would give everybody. The next time you go on vacation, or maybe the next weekend that's coming up, depending on when you're listening to this pod, go to bed when you're tired and wake up when your body naturally wakes up. Now, that's going to mean you're going to make sure the room is dark and cold. There's no sound. There's nothing that would wake you up. And just see, what does your circadian rhythm show you? What time do you normally fall asleep? And after how many hours does your body naturally wake up? If we do it just a little smidge of blood chemistry, your blood cortisol levels should be at their lowest when you're going ready to fall asleep. And as your body goes through its sleep cycles, the cortisol levels naturally rise in the blood, and that's what wakes you up. So if you want to figure out what kind of circadian rhythm you have, do the vacation test. Go to bed when you're tired, wake up when you naturally wake up, with no children, no alarm, no sunrise, no nothing. See what it looks like. What has been a very, very interesting experiment with this is, people who are used to sleeping 3 or 4 hours, even when they have that opportunity to just go to bed whenever they want to, they find themselves stuck in that little window. And that's where we kind of strip the emotion from it and say, see, this is how your body's essentially been rewired. So Dan, it goes back to what you said at the very beginning of our pod today. Most of us don't know what it feels like to not be tired.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part. For me, being an athlete at the Olympic Training Center, and again, I'm sharing my embarrassment, as the words are coming out of my mouth and I can see their look in their face like, okay, is he being serious? Is he this dumb? He's telling me that he's tired, and yet he's here to be one of the best athletes in the world. How does he expect himself to be a good athlete if he's always tired? Well, that's what I want for the listeners. How are you going to be a better partner? Yeah. Get rested. You know, how can you be a better employer? Be better rested. How can you be a better athlete? Be more rested. And that's where we go back to, not only just, obviously, we'd love to see 8, preferably 9 hours. I know it's not easy, But not only do we want the quantity, we need the quality. So you get that deep sleep, you get 5 to 6 sleep cycles. And that's where I love the Garmin. Because if you look at what we've talked about in the last two pods, right? The idea here is, and Dan, if you want to recap it here in a moment, you know, you stop and you think about the 5 negative side effects of being exhausted. Most people can resonate with that. But ironically, most people can't resonate with the 5 benefits of it. Because yep. they, if you said to them, what would it feel like to not be exhausted? They'd be like, oh my gosh, that'd be a dream come true. Stop and think about that. Are you going to wait until you're completely diseased before you, because unfortunately, if you get diagnosed with a fatigue-related disease, Addison's, chronic fatigue, Epstein-Barr, guess what the doctor's going to recommend? You need to eat more and you need to sleep more.
Yeah.
And because you're so exhausted, you can't even go to work. Remember what I shared with you before? We've seen athletes that are so exhausted that they literally have to take a nap going from the couch to the refrigerator. That's how exhausted their bodies are as adults.
Coach, the last one on the list, I want to recap this one real quick before we recap the mistakes and the recovery is perspective.
Yes, sir.
That's the last one on the list, and that one's pretty generalized too. So give me some details.
Well, to me, that's where the last two go together. Once you have the mental clarity and that mental fuzziness goes away, it's about changing your perspective 1 degree to go, okay, if I understand how I got here, now I can duplicate it. And it's interesting working with human beings at such an intimate level for 38 years, perspective changes everything. When somebody finally wakes up and goes, all right, I went to the restroom and I couldn't see my private parts. If that's what makes the mental adjustment that says I'm done with this, now they're ready to do something. And I always want somebody to think about how would you feel waking up tomorrow, not exhausted? And then what would your perspective look like? Because unfortunately, and I've said this to you before, and I'll say it again here on the pod, most people are petrified of success, not failure, because they feel that if they're successful, that they've got to maintain it. I'm asking for a perspective change to say, okay, I want to feel better, but I need to know how I can feel better. And then if I have an understanding of how I achieved it, then I don't have to worry about a regression. You say, but Rob, you said people were afraid of success, not failure. The interesting part is you failed so many times by textbook definition. You kind of fell off the bandwagon. You fell off your New Year's resolutions, whatever it may be. What happens is it's easier to say, oh, I just fell off my New Year's resolution. So now the accountability is off. And I don't know if I'm articulating that well. So Dan, please let me know if it's not coming across crystal clear.
Makes perfect sense.
How many times have you seen somebody goes into an office, they haven't been there in a while, and they've lost some body weight, and someone walks in and goes, wow, you look like you've lost some weight. Well, indirectly, it's like somebody just put a rock in your backpack, because now there's that pressure to keep it off. Instead of looking at it as, yep, I'm down 20 pounds. This is how I did it. And the next time you see me, I'll be down another 5 pounds. Why? Because I know what I did to get here. And this is where I'll close with the subject of perspective. You've been giving us time on these podcasts, subscribers, listeners. Thank you. Did you do so out of an obligation, or did you do it out of an investment in yourself? Don't roll your eyes and think it's hokey. Did you do it as an investment, or did you do it as, oh, I had to sacrifice? Just like when you guys get it. I mean, we all have tomorrow, right? Lord willing, we all have tomorrow. If you get to the end of the day and you squandered 4 hours on social media, you can change that. But the idea here is, did you get away from social media and invest in food and sleep and time with your partner and your children and all that and do it as an investment? Or did you go on date night and you're sitting on your phone and you're pretty much preoccupied, not even there? Did you do it out of obligation, or did you do it out of an investment? Are you doing it as an investment or as a sacrifice? That's what I want to leave everybody with. I'm not talking a 90-degree perspective change. I'm saying 1 degree. That's why I appreciate everybody's patience, and I hope you guys take notes. If I can get you to understand how the body, or in this case, why the body is exhausted, and we just simply make some small minor adjustments, and you get to feel the difference, you don't need to be afraid of, well, how do I keep it up? This is why people get frustrated, is it's called accidental success. You kind of mixed a bunch of little things together. You felt better for a while, but then you quote unquote regress. Yeah. So the fear of success is paralyzing, because it's like, I don't know how to keep it up. So it's easier just to say, I never achieved it, so I stay fatigued, instead of enjoying having high levels of energy, enjoying being healthy from the inside out. And if that tips into the athletic realm, good for you. That's awesome.
Coach Rob, that is going to wrap up episode 64 and 65, part there one and go. Two, right? The one thing missing from your health and performance holding you back. Thank you again, Coach, for all of your wisdom, your insight. I told you before, man, you're like Superman. Just don't have a heart attack on me again. And don't ignore the one thing, Coach, number five on the hidden mistakes was ignoring signs before it's too late. You ignored those signs of mental clarity and perspective. I'm not going to ask you about your sex drive. That's TMI.
Well, crazy part is every time I researched it, it always went back to long COVID. And I was like, quit complaining, Rob. You got to push through this, right? You know, and that's where I wanted to make sure we got it out there that, hey, if you're having those same symptoms, and I have received thousands of DMs from people saying our show has driven them to go see their doctor. And to me, Dan, we can drop the microphone and walk out of the room, because to me, that's what it was all about.
If it was only one person that emailed you,
amen.
I'm good with it.
That's, amen.
That's time investment. Well exactly. Absolutely. Yep. Thank you guys all so much again. Make sure you guys like and share. We appreciate you, and we'll see you on the next one.
Peace.